What's up?
It's another day in paradise, or Friday, as we like to call it.
Friday's not a generally not a bad day. My Fridays are going to be busy as all hell for the next 11 weeks.
Oh, why is that?
Because here we are, 9:15 a.m. Eastern time, recording this at 10:15 Eastern time. I'll be producing and recording Breaking Geek Radio, which you guys can find here. And then at 12:30, I'll be reacting to an anime, Buddy Daddies, which is kind of like take The Odd Couple and Spy Family, and put that together. So still fun, but then I have to edit all three of those.
Oh, then just don't
So
do it then.
what's that?
And don't do it then.
Don't do what? The anime?
Yeah. Or just don't do don't do the podcast then if it's that much of a burden.
I know. I have to do them all. The fans demand it. All like three fans
The fans.
of the Daily Cog and the two fans of Breaking Geek. Hello, everyone. Whoops, wrong button. I was trying to be a smartass. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. Please hit that red subscribe button or give us a follow if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app. And there goes the ending video again because OBS being silly.
No, you just don't know how they work it.
I'm Kyle. That's Jerk Face, and we're
No,
here to
that's not
talk about
Kyle. That's Matt.
whatever we want in the entertainment world. Hit the red subscribe button if you haven't. I think I already said all that. Manny's screwed me up. OBS has screwed me up. Show's over. I quit. Now I'm gonna hit the exit for button for real now. Check out the website lrmonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. And yeah.
Notice that everyone that he blamed everyone but himself.
Yeah, well, yeah, everyone except me. I have brain damage. I get a free pass no
Nah,
matter
nah,
what.
I'm gonna treat you equally. That's what you want, right? You want to be treated like an equal? Here we are, treating you like an equal.
No, I want special treatment.
Nah,
I'm
no
not gonna
special
lie. I want
treatment.
special
Nah.
treatment.
Nope. Mm-mm.
So yeah, it's Friday the 13th, by the way. So I kind of wore a little bit of horror gear in a way. It's my Halloween 3 season of the witch inspired Newfound Glory shirt for those that aren't on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything horror related to talk about, but I do have a well, I guess Batman can be kind of scary. He does keep young boys in
I got a
tights in
bone to
a
pick.
cave. But no, I do have a Batman story, but what's your bone to pick first then?
I don't know if you got a chance to even watch any few minutes of Velma just came out on
No,
HBO Max.
I saw a lot of stuff online, and then I saw your comments, and I didn't even like, oh my God, that sounds so awful.
It's it's atrocious, man. It's like,
Yeah.
and bone to pick, axe to grind, pick whichever phrase you want. The thing is I forgot which site it did it, but after a lot of reviews were coming out and things, because you look at the reviews, they're just all like a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
It's not a good show. They went ahead and put an article that says Velma's being review bombed, and in this case, the comments actually came out and really made fun of the article, because it's like, oh, so if we don't like something, all of a sudden we're review bombing it.
Holy crap. And for that, guys, the critic score is a 50% rotten. Audience score is a 9%. Yeah, keep going, man. You actually watched it. I'll talk about what I've heard, but
And
yeah, go.
I understand that it, like, it has some, like, it's like, oh, because Velma is LGBTQ, this is why everybody hates it.
Absolutely. I thought everyone really loves Harley Quinn right now. Though,
exactly.
Right?
That's my point.
Everyone really, really loves Harley Quinn, which deals with LGBT and truly, truly a person, a woman of color. She's green.
and it's meta, right?
Yeah. Whatever that means these days.
So the problem with this show is that it tries so freaking hard to like shove it in your face that it kind of forgets. The show forgets like what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's really annoying.
I mean, kind of like She-Hulk's all men are garbage unless they're not in that sense.
It tries too hard to appeal to whatever that culture is.
It's trying too hard to be edgy.
I don't even call it edgy. Like it's
doing
not
what
edgy.
It does for the sake of doing it, not to make it part. Like the deconstruction of the characters is so on the nose that it doesn't even become about a new take on the characters. It's just look, these aren't the old ones. That type of thing.
Yeah, and it's like, well, these are different versions of the characters. Well, they are, but they're barely the characters at all.
Hmm.
There's a reason why Scooby-Doo franchise is beloved, and it's not because of Velma. It's because of Scooby-Doo. Velma is a great character, that makes up the group. But in the same vein, nobody wants to see a Freddy or Daphne show.
Yeah,
and it's bad when most of the conversation around Scooby-Doo and the release of Velma is everyone's memories of past Scooby-Doo shows.
Yeah,
that and instead
I've
of...
seen a lot of that as well.
So
there's going to be a Scooby in this Scooby-Doo prequel, right? Maybe? No.
So my point is, just because something has bad reviews doesn't mean it's because people are being homophobic, are being racist, are being sexist. Sometimes the product actually is trash.
Yeah.
Go
figure that you could actually have a situation like that. Like I had
a friend tell me the other day, because it's funny we were talking about this today, who said, I really didn't like Obi-Wan, but I didn't want to say anything online because I didn't want to be labeled as racist. I was like, screw it. I didn't care. Like Obi-Wan was terrible. Like
Obi-Wan was trash.
So that was my axe to grind this morning.
Excuse me.
Things can't be bad now, I guess, because all of a sudden you're, and the thing is, and you're right. And I wrote this on Twitter. It tries so hard to be Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Most people love. Guess what? I love Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So it's not that, obviously. Because Harley Quinn has great balance. It focuses more on the characters and lets those things flow a little bit more naturally.
And it really truly deconstructed characters to their base root, not deconstructing them because you don't like the characters and the way that they were. It takes Batman down to his core. He's a fucking, excuse me, I'm sorry about the F-bomb. I'll try to remember to bleep it out. He's a freaking brooding kind of narcissistic, unaware type person, and they do that at the very core and make it funny, not just we're hating on Batman type deal. Yeah, man, it's a sad thing. You see it in a lot of modern Western media where the message gets lost in the messenger, if you will. And the person that's running a show or starring, writing, directing, however you want to break it down, wherever you want to place blame at. But I mean, Harvey Birdman, attorney at law, an old Adult Swim cartoon that I absolutely love and adore. They had the sequel series of sort with Bird Girl. It was atrocious. It was awful. They started dropping F-bombs, and as you guys can hear, I use curse words as well. I had no issue with it, only that they were doing it just to do it. It served no purpose. It wasn't even used in a natural way. It was that they had them in areas, you know, dropping F-bombs in sentences where even I wouldn't use an F-bomb. And it was just to be like, to be like edgy. Look, here we are. We're doing it. We're doing it when we couldn't do it on a Cartoon Network back in the day. And I don't ever like. I love comedy, and comedy is about timing and context, mm-hmm. and doing things just to do them, or doing things just to put an stick someone in the eye, stick some establishment, real or otherwise imaginary, perceived, whatever you want to, you know, perceptions, reality, got it. If you just do it just to do it, you lose out on the comedy aspect. And Velma seems like something that had the opportunity to do like a Harley Quinn, or even do like a Harvey Birdman attorney at law. But instead it's trying too hard to just, it's almost like they make some projects to be hated so they can say, see all of you not people that are in this cartoon or show are just mean. And it's like, no, you just made crap. I mean, honestly, sometimes it really feels like they'll make something so abrasive, so just not easily consumed, that it's almost like it's designed to generate negative attention. Mm-hmm. It's like the kid that will take any attention and eventually just thinks that bad negative attention is the best attention. I don't get it. I don't.
Toxic people.
It is. And you know, something that you mentioned about not being able to dislike something. Toxic positivity, I think, is a real thing, and mm-hmm. That exists, and I cannot stand it. I had someone say basically that I couldn't possibly be a real Star Wars fan not liking the prequels and stuff like that. And it's like, hold on, man. Like, what sense does it make to love everything? That would be like saying you're not a real Marvel fan if you don't love Thor: The Dark World and Iron Man 3. I'll tell you what, guys, if I were to rewatch all of the MCU except Phase 4 and could drop two movies, those two movies would probably be Iron Man 3 and Thor: The Dark World, followed very, very closely by Captain Marvel, which only really do I want to care to watch again because of a few funny moments and Nick Fury, who's great throughout. Mm-hmm. What does your mother call you? Fury. I love that. It's funny. See, comedic timing and context. But I wouldn't say that I'm not a Marvel fan. And it's okay to love the prequels. It's okay.
It's okay to like or dislike anything. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, it's entertainment, yeah. And it's made for the consumption of never everyone. You know, unless it's Top Gun Maverick, in which case it's everyone.
And not only that, but why does someone else's dislike affect you so much?
Yeah.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I'll admit, Avatar, you and I've been talking about that for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after its initial release here. And we've constantly said, we don't get it. What do you guys see in this this franchise besides graphics? But we're happy you're out there supporting it, and that you're seeing it in theaters, and that you do love it. Hey, bravo, congratulations. You're crazy, but but it shouldn't bother you for us to jokingly say, you know, oh, you're nuts if you love it, or for us to just say we don't like it, we don't care for it, we're not interested. That shouldn't bother you in reality, like make you go, huh, I wonder why they don't like it. Sure, but to be, oh my god, you don't love what I love. no, that's so, it's so infuriating. I do think that this whole mentality of everything's either an A plus or an F is trash, and that if you don't like it, you're a horrible person to the people that do like it. It makes no sense, Manny. How do people let others, here I am talking about other people letting others affect them, and here I am obviously affected by others, but it's not so much an individual or anything, it's just that I have to deal with that. I have to deal with other people being butthurt that I don't like something that they like. That bugs the crap out of me. Not like on a personal level, but like on a human, like society. I see a bigger picture of how awful that mentality can be in other fields, not just entertainment conversations online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it goes all the way into politics and things like that, where people are and not like this is real. Like people are no longer even reading propositions, measures, and things on their ballots. Or even looking at what candidates actually have to offer. The only thing they're looking at is blue or red. And because you're either with them or you're against them, regardless of party. And so what ends up happening...
Everything's polarizing.
So what ends up happening is then you vote certain people in or certain laws in. And then you're like, wait a minute. Why is this happening? And then they're like, you kind of... You voted for that. Like, no, I didn't. Yeah, well, when you voted for so-and-so, what you didn't know is that also in that package came blah, 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 blah. What? Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, you would have if you would have read, but you were so busy in the color of the paper that you, you just, you know, and so, whatever. Go watch
Avatar. You're with me or against me.
Yeah, so, so it's really, I don't know, man. I don't understand that. This is the generation that grew up with South Park.
I know.
Right? And with Adult Swim and like Cartoon, like the best Cartoon Network. And somehow, and then the generation behind is probably even worse because they just had like Teletubbies and terrible kids shows. Caillou and Dragon Tales. All the shows my little brother used to watch. I don't understand. I really do not understand where we went wrong, because there was a time where
we chose violence today.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we also sound really old, but that's okay because we are.
Yeah, we do.
Back in my day, yeah.
Don't get us wrong. It's our generation. It's the millennials. It's mm-hmm. it's us that were born in the from about 1980 to about 1988. It's our fault.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's our parents' fault for raising us this way. Freaking boomers. No, I'm joking. But no, it really is. And we raised or are raising Gen Z to be even more. I don't want to say there's no issue with sensitivity. I keep telling my son that. But as important as sensitivity is resiliency, the ability to be able to brush it off and be like, okay, you know, them's the breaks, or that's life, or the, you know, it is what it is. However you want to phrase it, resiliency is one of those big things. And you need to be able to take someone going, that thing that you love with all your heart and being, the thing you have tattooed on your skin and you've invested hundreds, if not thousands of hours on in your life, you need to be able to take someone saying, it's shit, I hate it, it's garbage, this is why it's garbage, or even they just don't like it at all, and they don't have a good reason. You need to be able to take that and go, okay.
So you think cool. It stems from participation trophies then?
Bye. I mean, some of it.
I mean, I know like that's usually a cliche that's used now.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you keep telling everyone that they're a winner, they don't learn how to lose.
Exactly.
Learning how to lose, learning how to fail, like you're saying, is super important in the development of everyone, because that's life. It happens sometimes.
I can tell the audience that the days of us letting our son win at games ended. He's 9. Those ended like 2 years ago.
Now you never let him win. You're a jerk.
2 years ago. What was that?
I said, you never let him win. You're a jerk. You're like, come on.
2 years ago, it wasn't just letting him win something like when he was 4 and 5 years old. It was giving him opportunities to win. Now he's at that age to where it's like, dude, you need to earn it. I'm not going to go full bore, but I'm not going to give you an opportunity to win. I just might not, you know, I might not go for the easiest kill. you know, on a game or a board game and end it as quickly as possible. Cause I want him to learn. I've been teaching him, you know, it's important to lose. Playing like even imagination games, role play and mm-hmm. stuff like that, cops and robbers or what have you. He'll want it to where he always wins. He's got an unlimited ammo or god mode, and it's like, no, dude, you need to learn to lose and lose well, and then you also need to learn how to win well. You need to learn how to be a good winner, and he's learning some of that in fencing, and but I only get a few hours a day with him between school, sleep, him wanting to do his own things. I'm limited, you know. Yeah. Christine and I are limited, and we just have to hope we can deprogram whatever everyone else is trying to draw us into. Toxic positivity and toxic sensitivity. I'm not saying you need to be a stoic, non-crying brick wall, but you don't need to be a freaking weeping, leaking, barely able to hold yourself together dam of sticks, you know? Like, there's balance, guys. Balance. And you know what? Obi-Wan Kenobi was freaking shit. Cope with it.
Yep, 100%, man.
You ready to talk about some Batman? Because
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, because I do want to talk about this, but then I have something else that kind of feeds into toxicity. But we'll get there. Matt Reeves did a Batman movie last year. Most people seem to like it, including this guy and that guy over there. Manny seemed to like it as well. Reeves had this to say, or excuse me, why does that? Why does that? Oh, okay. That's them talking to Reeves. Anyways, Reeves said that we're deep in it. That's the writing of Batman 2, as far as I understand. We're deep in it, and my partner and I are writing. Mattson Tomlin and I are writing, and it's really exciting, and I'm really excited about what we're doing. They weren't going to answer any questions on if the movie would be shooting this year or anything like that. He also mentioned that he's got a meeting with Gunn and Safran here in the near future to discuss plans for his, you know, Batverse, Batman, the Batman 2, the Penguin stuff, and more. It's not really that huge of a story. It's kind of just confirming sort of that, you know, things are moving along.
Mm-hmm.
But it is encouraging given what we know is going on with DC in general. I'm happy for Reeves to be writing on it again. I don't know how multiversal Gunn really plans on being, but I'm happy to see that this is for now. And we had Colin Farrell earlier in the week talking about the Penguin show as well. I don't know, man. How are you feeling about the Batman?
My trust is in Matt Reeves. He proved in the film before that he can make a film that centers around Batman and not necessarily the rogues gal, the rogue in the film. So I think that was one of the most encouraging comments, was that he says, no, we're focusing still on Bruce Wayne, or this isn't a rogues gallery movie and featuring Batman. This is Batman. This is his story, and the complementary pieces are the rogues there, you know, because the rogues gallery do play a huge part on the popularity of characters, which is why the two most popular characters are Batman and profitable character Spider-Man, because of the versatility of the rogues,
because of the bad guys.
Yeah, because a lot of times they're kind of mirror different insecurities and different parts of a character that are then highlighted and are stretched out into a very, very extreme level. You know, like Two-Face, you can see him as, mm-hmm. you know, the two faces of justice that he tries to get, vengeance versus that. Penguin is the rich, the families, the money. And then obviously His moral, and the most important one is the Joker, with the very opposite sense of his moral code versus the Joker's, who has no code at all. Which in a strange way is a code in itself. But anyway, before go too deep into that, yeah, it's cool. Like, I'm pretty sure that Zaslav told Gunn or the board, because everyone would be in agreement. I don't think there's anyone who can dispute that Matt Reeves, whatever he's doing with Batman, needs to go on. The question, the question though becomes, where do you, like, does it go live somewhere else? Because he did say there were Elseworlds stories, so this could be one of those cases. Yeah. Because I don't think you want that. I wouldn't want Pattinson's Batman in a greater universe, because like it just feels so compact, and it, like, everything is very specific to Batman, that trying to, it's almost like, okay, so we're gonna take this one Lego, and I guess Lego is a terrible phrase, because like Legos, they're versatile, but we're gonna take this one piece and now we have to build everything else around it.
Yeah,
and it can affect it very negatively.
We're gonna take this mega block and we're gonna stick it into Legos.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, and so it may not fit very well.
It sticks out a bit.
Yeah,
similar, but not quite.
Yeah, and you don't want that, and that's okay. Like we've talked before, this is a comic book movie. There are different comic books. Go to the comic book shop today and see how many different Batman books there are, and tell me if they actually connect with each other. Absolutely not. And they all sell. They sell very, very well. Why? Because it's freaking Batman. I mean, same thing with the Joker. That's why they don't touch that one. Because, but they're very successful. They made a lot of money. One of them even won an Oscar. So don't touch them, because they're bringing us money. And at the end of the day, we need the money to make more money. as we talk. So
it takes money to make content to make money.
And plus, like you have Reeves working on just a really cool world where, the Arkham show is still in development, and then also the Penguin, which is gonna, I guess, explore a little bit more of the underworld that'll connect to the second film. Cool stuff. It is very, very cool stuff. Can you please not make it about the Joker? If I swear to God,
it's going to be very Joker centric.
I love the Joker. I really do. But it almost feels like you can do something else in this film and continue to tease him. Save it for the third movie.
I don't disagree. And I was going to say, I think introducing a couple of more rogues, not a whole slew of them in this second film would be smart. And then like a third to make it kind of like an Arkham Asylum. The inmates have taken over.
Cool. I like that type
idea. And there's Batman trying to, put back the prison, if you will, put back up the walls that have been torn down, and he's got to face all these characters that he's had to deal with for the last, four or five years, 6 or 7 years, however long it takes to get there. But yeah, I agree. It's not time for Joker and a big tease him more in the second film, there in the background, more than just a Joker card or stinger scene at the end, but not centric.
You know what I would like though, which I think would work, and I think Reeves would probably do it very masterfully, is a Bane, because we've tested Bruce Wayne's mind. Now let's move on and let's test his grit, his physicality, with, and especially now that he's really been revealed, because he's in the daytime saving people at the end.
Yeah.
And so Bane comes in and it's like, it's kind of like in the animated series where he shows up contracted to kill him, but really he's there more for the challenge than anything else.
Yeah.
I like that. Bane is such a smart character. Yeah. Most of the time in books, I think a lot of people forget that, thanks to Schumacher. But I think that would be such a and also Harley Quinn doesn't help, but it's such a funny version of the character. I love him so much.
What do you who is, because I know what most people want the villain, who most people want the villain in the next Bat movie to be, Who do you want, though?
I think I want Bane.
Okay. Just, a lot of people want Freeze.
I would absolutely love Freeze, yeah, but it doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. And I don't think it works. Just because, like, you have to deal with the Freeze gun, I guess you know, Matt Reeves, it would be his job to figure it out. But the reality is that really what we're doing is we're setting up a Hush film at some point, yeah. Which means we do need to probably introduce a couple more villains. And in the third film, regardless of if it is the Joker, it's not just going to be the Joker. I think it would be a couple of those rogues. Yeah. And because of obviously the actions of Hush. And that'd be great. That would be really, really good. You know, it'd be like the Penguin. We already have the Penguin, the Riddler, Joker. So if we can
Falcone.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
And like the family.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they would hire somebody. So that's where I think would, you know, the Bane.
Well, I'm just saying that more grounded, organized, instead of the, mm-hmm. the supervillains like Freeze, that's what they're going for.
Yeah, Catwoman's there too, obviously, but she's more of an anti-hero. She's been for a while now. So I think that's why I feel like it just won't work. Like, you can't use like Firefly. Scarecrow would work still, but it's been done, and I think they did a really good job already with it, but who cares, right? Because we've already had certain characters several times. Like, hell, we had the Joker a billion times, and here we are.
About to have two Jokers on screen at the same time again.
That's all right. One of them you can almost say is inspired by the Joker. It's not really a. Honestly, that movie would have. I think I would have respected it a whole lot. And I loved it. But I had to take off a couple points for doing the scene at the end with the parents.
Well, like, I and this is kind of funny because it's my other topic. I was talking about another thing dealing with toxicity. We heard that the composer for Joker 2, Folie à Deux, or whatever the frack. Mm-hmm. I don't speak freaky deaky French.
Not wrong with French. I speak French.
We heard that they're working on the music now, and it reminded me of the when Suicide Squad came out, and everyone was, you know, shipping and Harley and Joker saying, oh, their relationship goals and they're great to get together. Yeah. And it's like, no, my God, guys, this is the epitome of toxic relationship, abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. This is not goals. This is awfulness.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to stand them as a couple, which is why the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, whatever, Birds of Prey, there it is, that became about separating her from them. I'm worried that this new film will reignite that, and we're going to get another slew of people glorifying a very, very toxic, abusive, and disgusting relationship that you're supposed to feel bad for her. I'm not saying like it's a bad story plot. No, it's a great story element. I'm just saying people took it the wrong freaking way. You want relationship goals? Go watch Weathering With You, where a guy literally says, you know what? we could sacrifice this girl and stop this rain and Tokyo's not going to flood. Or I can go get the girl. Tokyo can flood and we're just going to have to get used to a new Tokyo. He goes and gets the girl. It's a freaking anime. Shut up. He goes and gets the girl. That's positive. Freaking throwing your torturing the girl and then throwing her into a vat of chemicals so she's broken like you. That's not good.
No.
Get the girl. Don't torture her.
From the very beginning, especially in the animated days, where Harley was created, it's been that same way. It was really thanks to like, Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti who really separated her in the comics, and then Birds of Prey did a very good job at starting to do the same thing. And then this animated series followed up with the comics, really, and did a good job at showing how difficult that transition could be.
Yeah.
And
like abusive relationships can be hard to get out of.
Yeah. But the one thing I'll say about this Joker sequel is that because it's more of a, I see it more of an inspired by type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think other characters are going to be twisted anyway. And I don't necessarily see her she may represent this character, but then again, Todd Phillips may be like, let me show ya with this how terrible this could look like.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, and I said, it's just a fear.
And it can be and it can be very uncomfortable. But it's supposed to be.
It should be, yes.
Based on what he did before, I have a lot of I'll let the man work and we'll see, but it's I don't know. I think Batman's pretty safe for right now in all of the projects that they're working on. So
okay. Yeah. No, I agree. Like I said, it was just one of those fears. I had seen the news this morning about the music being worked on, and it was like, oh God, do you remember what happened the last time these two were on screen together?
Plus, I don't think Gaga
and
would,
then you're
and throwing Phoenix in, or should I sign up for something like that either, because I think they would they're smart enough to recognize that that's stupid. I honestly, with the films that she's done so far, if she's working on something, I'm you know, crossing my legs and getting my juice box and watching intently, because she's sitting crisscross, in other words, and enjoying it, because she's a great artist. She's done great in the films that she's been in. So the combination, right?
Anything I've seen her
House of Gucci, Star is Born.
Didn't watch it.
Okay, yeah. See, you're just too busy in your anime bubble.
I do not like her music. I've heard lots of freaking songs dating back to, what was it, like 08, 09,
when
Germany was playing Poker Face. Like every other freaking song on the radio was freaking, it was either George Michael's Michael Jackson or freaking Poker Face when I was in Germany. I have no love for that. I don't like musicals, so why was I ever going to see A Star Is Born? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you don't like things. No. That's right.
I don't have any affinity for her, and I do not like her music at all. Like there's not one song that I've heard that I'm aware of. And there's probably more songs I've heard that I just didn't even know it was her, because it just sounds like noise. God, I sound old.
Well, it's not just
music. I like lots of new music. I don't like
stuff
that.
She did this amazing job with recording and working with Tony Bennett, and that where there was a bunch of classic songs. It was fantastic as well. I don't know. Everybody has a style, so I'd say you're missing out, but like, I don't like certain things either. So
I don't the most especially Western pop music is just not my bag, baby.
Move to Japan already, bro. Like,
dude, no, they don't allow cannabis there. I can't.
Well, you know, geez.
I can't. Otherwise, I'd have to be doped up on opioid narcotics all the time.
That's not, and
I don't want that ever again.
They gave me strong painkillers one time when I had a kidney stone, and
that's rough, because those make it hard to actually get a strong stream to pass the stone.
This was right after passed it, but the thing is, I'd rather go through the pain than to take the medicine, because I was so afraid of becoming
dependent. Anyways, we got Breaking Geek Radio coming up. Not we as in Manny and I, but we as in the genreverse. So I have to go get that done. Today's schedule is going to be weird. If you're watching this probably came out second today after the anime reaction, because those are time sensitive. But yeah, there's lots of great content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. I mentioned the anime reactions. That's AVR Squared. We've got AVR for anime reviews, Genre Shot, Trailer Reactions, Breaking Geek, Daily Cog, The Cantina, and Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. We'll be back with an Ant-Man review. So keep your eye out. Subscribe for this content and more. If it's not a reaction video, all of our reviews and podcasts go up wherever you get your podcast from, like Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and more. And of course, LRMonline.com every day for entertainment news, needs, opinions, written reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. We got a Discord as well. Check it out. Description box down below. Manny, anything for the good folks out there before we head out for the weekend?
Yeah, the Daily Cog today has been brought to you in top part by the Tapatio Man.
Okay, interesting.
He's cool. It's a diamond edition that I got from Funko, okay? So nice. I just wanted to show it off. Also, quick, R.I.P. Lisa Marie Presley, who very suddenly passed away yesterday. That's kind of one of the mysteries of life, where last week a football player happened almost to him on the field, and he was able to recover it, but in this case, it didn't work out. We hope everybody has a great weekend, and if you like anime, that's okay. Talk to Kyle about it. And if you like musicals, that's also okay. You can talk to me about it.
No, that's not okay. Musicals are trash. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.